Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to celebrate, really. We're going to bask in the feast of the conversion of St. Paul, which we celebrated yesterday, by looking today and celebrating the memorial of Saints Timothy and Titus, bishops. They were disciples of Paul that Paul had positioned to be able to follow up on his preaching and teaching to organize the churches, both one in Ephesus, where Timothy was a bishop, and then on the island of Crete, where St. Paul had sent Titus to oversee and to organize the growing church in those positions. So I just want to reflect on the readings that were given from the beginning of the second letter to Timothy and then St. Paul's letter to Titus, because there's just some gold there to harvest, and you can see how much Paul loved these brothers, how much they loved him, the relationship that they had, the challenge that was before them, the people that influenced them. It's really interesting to see, and the kind of things that Paul wants to emphasize, even at the beginning of the letter. I mean, these letters are filled with beautiful and powerful teaching, worth reflecting on for sure. But let's begin here with 2 Timothy 1, chapter 8. By the way, before I forget, if you didn't have a chance to tune into yesterday's program, where we celebrated the Feast of St. Paul, his conversion, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them on your computer or download them, put them on whatever device you need. Best thing to do to access all the good stuff we have at Renewal Ministries, all our YouTube videos, our television programs, radio programs, all kinds of material that's there to help you during these really challenging and important times that we're all living through. You could just download the Renewal Ministries app from the Apple App Store, or you can also download the Ave Maria app. Both give you access to be able to listen to any of our programs anytime you want. Simplest way to do it. So here we are, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. I yearn to see you again, recalling your tears, so that I may be filled with joy as I recall your sincere faith, that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and that I am confident lives also in you. For this reason, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to the Lord, nor of me, a prisoner, for his sake, but bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. So I want to just reflect on a few things that Paul says here in his letter to Timothy. He has obviously great affection for him, but Paul knows who he is. You know, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. An apostle is a sent one. Paul had this extraordinary commission directly from Jesus that we saw yesterday to go and build and establish churches in different countries, especially to reach the Gentile world, the non-Jewish world that were alienated from the promises of Abraham and were brought into the promises that went to the patriarchs of Israel by being baptized into the life of the Jewish Messiah, Jesus. And so Paul's very much aware of his Jewish history and the continuity and the identity. He didn't turn away from his being Jewish. He understood that he was following the Jewish Messiah and that the prophecies of Isaiah and others, that Israel was meant to be a light to the nations, this is where the light is meant to go to the whole world. That's through the person of Jesus, who's the Savior of the world. He calls Timothy his dear child. He sees himself as a spiritual father, and indeed he was. And he's filled with love for Timothy. That's not just an organization, it's a family. It's family love, it's deep, it's personal, and they are building the kingdom together. And it's something that I think just being able to read and meditate on this would be a good thing for leaders in the church today. I mean, in some ways, the church, because it has become so big and organized and complex, it can be like a business. And it can be difficult to have the kind of intimacy and union and communion as a family on mission that you see with the life of Paul and Timothy and others. He said, I'm grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as I remember constantly in my prayers day and night. So Paul is praying. He's praying for Timothy. He's praying for Titus. He's praying for those that he has brought to the faith. And he said he recalls with tears and he's filled with joy when he thinks about the sincere faith that Timothy has, the gift of faith. He knows what that means. The gift of faith is not just, you know, kind of having a set of religious, personal religious principles in your life. This faith, which comes from God, which is a theological virtue, which is a way of knowing, of surrendering, of being in deep, intimate life with the living God, the one true God revealed in the Lord Jesus. And then he says something very beautiful here, and I want the women who are listening to hear what he says. Maybe there's some grandmothers listening and some wives and mothers listening. He said the faith, really, that Timothy had, he was first lived in your grandmother Lois. So his grandmother was the first to receive faith in Jesus and in your mother Eunice, and that I'm confident lives also in you. How many people, how many priests, how many lay people, how many men have received their faith from their grandmother or their mother? Think about all the football players, you know, you see in the NFL or in college, and the camera comes on them and they say, you know, they shout out to their mother most of the time, you know, or their grandmother even. And you see how the faith was carried. It reminds me when I first started going Renewal Ministries, when we first started going to Eastern Europe after the fall of the wall, the communist wall in places like Lithuania, Kazakhstan, Hungary, places like that, where it was very interesting to see when we first went there, we met young people who had living faith, very dynamic living faith. As we got to know them, some of these young leaders, they'd say, where'd you get that faith from? You know, were your parents and family? So some of them, even many of them, their parents who were just one generation removed, their grandparents had been so deeply influenced by communism that they didn't have that kind of living faith within them. Their parents lived through a period when communism was functioning at its most aggressive level. But many of them told stories about how their grandparents, when they spent time with their grandparents, how their grandparents passed on the faith to them. And it's just such an important thing. And some of the most important evangelization and discipleship happens in the family and can happen cross-generationally like that. So moms, I just want to shout out to you and grandmothers and your deep pride. I know my own family. My mother had an extraordinary impact, and her quiet impact on our lives and her deep faith really did affect all of us, all seven kids in the family at one point or another. So he goes on. He said, for this reason, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hand. So he's talking about, in particular, when Paul commissioned Timothy to be a pastor, you know, to be a priest, to be a bishop, to be a governor of the church. So the imposition of hands, and that's continued to this day, by the way. It began with Jesus laying hands on the apostles, and it happens now when a bishop lays hands on a bishop, and a bishop lays hands on priests. It goes all the way back to Jesus himself and Paul spreading that out among the converts in the Gentile world, and that's how the gospel spread and the church got built. But he goes on to say, for God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. Friends, that's the exact spirit we've been given in baptism. The same spirit of God dwells in you. We don't have the same commission as a bishop has, or the same responsibility that a bishop has to govern and lead the church. But the same spirit dwells in us. See, and we are filled today, our society, our culture is filled with fear. It's filled with fear around battling the unknown, you know, the unknowns of the COVID virus and its impact it's had on us, the shaking of politics, the shaking of our economy, all kinds of things that are going on, the shaking and confusion within the church itself. It reveals something when the earth is shaken, so to speak. It reveals the dominant forces that are at work within us. And what can get revealed is deep fear, deep cowardice. And that's what Paul is pointing to. A cowardice, a fear of standing up, a fear of being identified with the Lord, a fear of living out the faith that the Spirit of God has not yet subdued in us, probably because we haven't sought the Lord and we haven't gone after him and we haven't taken the spiritual journey serious enough so that we can learn to yield to the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, to be fed, to be strengthened, to be encouraged in a way we need to, so that those powers can be subdued by the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit begin to grow in us. We have to remember, friends, that we've been given power in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world, right? This power is dunamis, the same word used in the Acts of the Apostles, where Jesus said, you shall receive power. That's dynamite. The English word we use is dynamite. That there's explosive kingdom power. The power that raised Jesus from the dead has been given to us, but too often we're out of touch with it. We're not living in deep communion with the Lord, so therefore we're timid, we're afraid. So we've been given power to love and to walk in self-control. So then Paul said, understand this, don't be afraid, walk in love. He said, so do not be ashamed. He exhorts him, the pressure that's coming against Timothy and the community in Ephesus and places. There was idol worship in Ephesus. There was a whole culture they were confronting. He said, don't be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord. One of the things the culture today is doing here in the United States is shaming people into silence, that things we believe about Christ, the uniqueness of Jesus, his lordship and majesty, the reality of his gifts and power, and what he's taught us about what it means to follow his commandments, the morality and the economy of God that we're called to respect. A lot of that today is being judged by the world, and there's pressure on Christian people to conform to what the world wants. Same pressure, same battle, kingdom of darkness that Timothy had to face. And Paul's saying, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be ashamed to be identified with Jesus, but bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. We just have a couple of minutes to just read the section from Titus. It says, Paul, a slave of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's chosen ones and the recognition of religious truth in the hope of eternal life, that God, who does not lie, promised before time began, who indeed at the proper time revealed his word in the proclamation with which I was entrusted by the command of God our Savior. Paul is so confident in the power of God's word. He said to Titus, my true child, again, family, right? Father, spiritual father, my true child in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. For this reason, I left you in Crete so that you might set right what remains to be done, and appoint presbyters in every town as I directed you. So Paul reminds him the recognition of this religious truth, which at its heart, he goes on to say, is hope in eternal life. What is Christianity? It's not just a moral code. It's not just a kind of unique spiritual experience. It is the only pathway to receive the gift of eternal life. Christianity is new life in a person, in Jesus Christ, God's only Son. He took on human flesh so he could take fallen human flesh that was under the dominion of sin and death, and he overcame those powers, and he was raised by the Father so he could take human flesh into the presence of the eternal God. He united the kingdom life, the divine life, the eternal life to human flesh in his incarnation. In his resurrection and ascension to the right hand of God, he began the new creation. And Christianity is the promise, the only pathway to sharing the eternal divine life of God. That's what Paul's preaching. That's what the word proclaims. That's what Christianity is all about. And it's so important for us as we celebrate these brothers to be able to see it and embrace it and walk in it in our time. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.